Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, what about the news from the Barossa and Light Cricket Association?
Yes, a couple good games. I'd let you tell us about the Saturday because you were umpiring there, but the Sunday was the grand final of the one-dayer.
Yes.
With Trent Gurz and Sammy Cahoon getting around the runs on the Sunday.
Absolutely. The funny thing is that it was a dress rehearsal on Saturday by sheer chance. The fixture was a one-day game, Tanunda versus Angaston.
Yep.
And then, of course, they had to front up on the day after to play the final of the one-dayers. And, in fact, the result was reversed. On Saturday, in an incredibly tight game, Ango had to chase 190.
Yep.
And got 191 with 9 wickets down. Set up originally, Tanunda were a bit unlucky not to win that one as well. Trent Gurz got 51 and Sam Calhoun got 61 with an opening partnership of 110. And then on the final, they again batted first. Tanunda 6 for 232. Trent Gurz on fire, 106. Sam Calhoun on 44. Opening partnership this time of 119. And then, much to Ango's credit, they got to they got pretty close. They got to 207, but Tanunda won. So Tanunda could have easily won on Saturday as well. But there you go.
Umpiring decisions
No dubious umpiring decision. No, you know that.
And Trent Gurz, just a man of the match on the Sunday, too.
Yes.
106 off 99. So he wasn't mucking around out there.
Oh, no. He's a good player. And their partnerships, you know, in 2 days, 110 and then 119.
Yeah, it's a big weekend.
A big weekend.
Yeah, it would have been a bit, knackered on the Monday, ready for work, wouldn't they?
You never get sick of making runs, Phil, I can tell you. I never made
enough. One.
So that was, it was a very good weekend.
Yeah.
You've got to give credit in taking nothing away from Tanunda, but Ango on the Saturday, they were gone for all money.
Yeah. The best two sides in the comp, aren't they?
I would
probably
think,
standouts, wouldn't they?
They are the two standouts, depending on when and if South Gawler get some of their big names back.
Yep. Who's missing?
Oh, well, there's a few.
I won't go there,
no,
Rick.
You won't.
I know. I was doing a bit of fishing there, wasn't I?
I thought you were, and you actually probably caught a big trout. But McCard and Goldner, of course, have been away in the representing South Australian country, they're a huge loss, those two. So, but
that's all over, though, now, so they're back.
That's right, they're back. Yeah. So, I mean, I'd say that it's a three-horse race. It's between Tanunda, Ango, and South Gawler, I would think.
Yep. So one of those.
Wait and see what happens. Now, Phil, you're the tennis guru.
Tennis. Ash Barty, as we speak, this is just won her third round.
Correct.
Beat and missed nobody.
Yep.
Straight sets this time.
Ranked 24, I think. The girl.
Yeah, but have you ever heard of her?
No.
And she has dropped a set. She's dropped the first set in the first round. She dropped, but then came back and absolutely blitzed her.
Yes.
So she's in some good form. She's also playing the doubles with a German girl, and they got through.
They're, oh, right.
So she's still in the doubles as well.
Oh, I thought she might have been playing with Sam Stosur.
No, Sam's left Melbourne. She's
left Melbourne.
She's got an early plane flight out.
Obviously, he's done well again.
First round.
For the fifth time.
Fifth time. Five in a row.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I think she was playing one of the big names, a qualifier, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's a very good qualifier. Yeah, ranked 2009. No, not really. She'd be well and truly up there, though. Probably 200 or 300 in the world, 300 in the world to, you know, qualify.
It's hard to imagine that a girl who's won the US Open can be knocked out in the first round 5 years in a row at the Australian Open.
I think it's hanging the tennis racket up, Rick, and that's probably enough.
I mean, it just seems mind-blowing, really, doesn't it?
But I know. You go from that to losing to qualifiers, and I mean consistently losing to qualifiers, not just a one-off, which you can do, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, listen, a bit of a quick call.
Yep.
Who's going to win the men's and the ladies?
I'm a Federer fan.
Federer fan?
Yep.
I like that piece of alliteration, A fantastic Federer fan?
He sort of steps up at this, this he loves Australia. And look, I'd love to see Bardi win one. She's only won the Adelaide tournament last week, so that's her only win in Australia tournament.
Yes.
So a Grand Slam here would be good, but I don't reckon she will, Rick.
Well, she's under huge pressure, particularly from the Australian press, because they want her. Well, yep. Because we'd all love her to win.
Yeah.
But we've got to remember Serena's around, and there's not a lot of people beat Serena.
No, I mean, Serena's just about local, isn't she? She's just about, you know, she loves the tournament.
Yeah.
They love her. She seems to grow another leg here in Australia, and just, you know, she has 3 or 4 months off a year now. She just plays the tournament.
So what about Coco? What do you reckon
Coco Gauff?
Yes, something like that.
15-year-old.
Tell you what, she's beaten Venus for the second time. Yep. She beat her last year, and then she's beaten her in the round here.
Yep.
And I did see in the press that Serena has given her the big rap. She reckons she reckons that Coco is going to be really amazing. Well, at 15 years of age.
Yep. I mean, you've got to have some talent. I mean, you're playing Grand Slams at 15. Serena who's won 23 of them. And she'd be a fair judge, I would think, Rick.
Well,
you would.
She's
seen
a few around, hasn't she? And I would think so.
Look, one of our favourite all-time players is still in too.
Who's that?
Nick Kyrgios.
What a character! Reformation.
I had a tear in my eye again. That beautiful, beautiful speech.
Well, it was a beautiful speech, and I think the other thing is that
he's changed.
Well, it would seem that he's changed, and I mean, I guess to be fair, and I'm not making excuses for him because he's carried on like an absolute pork pie for a long time.
Yep.
But we do have to remember that Leighton Hewitt and Pat Cash and co, McEnroe, they weren't angels themselves when they were young.
No. Lele was quite the sport little bro at times.
I mean, he was possibly, I've got a feeling, if I can recall accurately, that he was one of the most disliked Australian sportsmen going around.
Yeah. I mean, he always played for the country very well, and you never ever gave that, you know. But Gammon and Cashy was basically the same.
You know,
they could be absolute, you know, what they are. But they, by hell, they loved their country.
Loyal. And, of course, at this moment, Nick hasn't done that. But he's beginning to look as though he's even coming around as far as that goes.
Yes, loves representing the country and playing the team sport.
Well, it's interesting that after the sort of love-hate relationship between him and Leighton, they seem to have become best buddies at the present time.
Yeah, well,
perhaps Leighton understands how it all happens.
Yeah. Was going to be rude there, but I've cleaned that up.
Now, listen, okay. I think we should change the subject. What about Matthew Nix?
Nix. No, I saw the interview. I sort of rate him.
He speaks well, doesn't he?
He speaks very well.
You know what his nickname is, don't you?
No.
Barrow.
What, is he carrying the load or something, or what?
He's got the job ahead of him. And what about the new leadership team?
Hang on, I reckon him and Kenny Hinckley might have the same wheelbarrow.
Perhaps they take it in turns, you know, 50 yards each way.
Like a relay.
Yeah.
Rory Slane.
Yes.
One captain. Yep. At like Port have gone for...
Isn't it interesting how supposedly the inverted commas experiment, they've both thrown it the towel in and gone back to one?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's very hard for two blokes to toss the coin at the same time, isn't it? Really?
Fighting over the coin. The first fight's getting the coin. Tommy Lynch is one of the deputies. Matty Crouch, obviously. Try and keep him at the club, I suppose.
Yep.
Brody Smith and Tom Duday.
Well, so I mean, I think given that they've gone for the new coach, they've got to go for a new new sort of leadership. Yep. I think it's probably a good move because they probably were a little bit rash in not giving them long. You know, it's not that long since they played in a grand final.
No.
But I guess the argument that was used, well, we got to a grand final and where have we been since, rather than we should have been
absolutely.
Up there.
I mean, they probably were ready to come back the next year. And I mean, they just didn't perform, did they?
Yeah.
And so it was time to... And evidently, listening to the interview with Matty Nix, Tex and Daniel Talia are going to be... They're not... sitting back. They've got to help these guys and have input. They're not just going to be, you know, oh, we've done our job and sit back, you know. So evidently they're going to feed them.
Yes.
You know, some.
Well, the interesting thing is that you just mentioned those two, Tex and Talia. Now, I mean, for people of their standing, they both had very ordinary years last year.
Oh, absolutely. And so, I mean, I think we've probably mentioned it on the show that I think Tex would have been dropped if he wasn't captain.
Oh, I think he
would. And I mean, you can drop the captain. I mean, that's right. Well, they didn't, because, I mean, his form was shocking. I think Tarly was only all right. I mean, he was...
He wasn't the player that he had been the previous couple of years.
Struggled with a bit of injury,
didn't
he?
Yes, he did.
So he was probably... But while we're on the footy, Brodie Grundy.
Oh, 7 years. Thanks
seven
for coming.
7 years, probably about a $7 million, you know. Thank you very much.
Well, I don't... I'm not against it, because I think he is the best big man going around.
Absolutely.
And he's on the ground. His work on the ground for a bloke who's 7 foot tall is like a ruck rover. If anyone's worth that sort of contract and deal.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he feeds off himself, basically, doesn't he?
Yes.
You know, he's just, fantastic. I think he's... They had to try and keep him there.
Well, I heard that if he didn't get 7 years, he was going to move.
Yeah, his South Australian boy, his brother, is on the list at Port.
Yes.
Hasn't played a game or anything yet. I think he's only a young lad, so he's developing. So see what happens with him.
He is, though, a real talent. A good Sturt boy.
Sturt?
Yes, Sturt. Yeah.
That's where you played, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
In your underage, until chronic knee injury, wasn't it?
Concussion, actually.
Concussion.
Was the major problem.
Oh,
yes,
really?
Yeah, but we won't go into that.
Okay.
Now, listen, did you hear about the bloke who'd been playing, he'd played about 10 games for his club.
Yep.
And they tried him in about 9 positions, from goalkeeper through to outside right, you name it, he'd been there. In fact, it was said that he'd been tried everywhere except in the Supreme Court.
Well, there you go, eh?
Yeah, so that's quite interesting, all that.
Well, we've covered a few sports today, Rick.
Well, I thought before we finish...
Cleared up a few loose ends.
Yep, I thought before we finish, we'd just mention Test cricket.
Test cricket?
The Test cricket.
Where are they playing?
Well, they're playing in South Africa, but if you look in the advertiser, you've got to look with considerable...
Oh, you got to...
Concentration, because...
Okay, to find it.
Well, you do. I've actually discovered a couple of scores in the page of all the results.
Okay.
You'd have thought England versus South Africa might have deserved a column inch somewhere or other.
Well, probably.
But
they got too many letters to the editor in there, I think, Rick.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
So. Now, speaking of letters to the editor, we'll double back for a moment to Ash Barty's win at the Adelaide International.
Yes.
There was a very interesting letter criticising the new Adelaide
Memorial. I know where you're going here, Rick, because I watched some of it, and the shadows across the court at certain times of the day was just... And, I mean, that was a big no-no. I mean, Melbourne, you know, you just, oh.
Well, you'd have thought that given that a tennis court's only a certain dimension, that, you know, whoever the rocket scientist designers were would have thought about the fact, and believe it or not, the sun does set in the west every day.
Well, wouldn't they block that side out, you know, because it's going to come around there and then create the big shadows?
That would have been a good idea.
Yeah, well, they didn't ask me.
I think the bloke in the paper wrote and described it as a big Nissan hut.
I mean, it looks all right. But, yeah, I noticed the shadows too, Rick, and I sort of thought, wow, you could have got around that a bit.
Well, I mean, you can find excuses for shadows on big ovals because of the size.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
But not a tennis court.
No, I mean... Come on, block the side in and, you know.
You'd have thought so.
But anyway, we've covered just about everything today, Rick.
I think we have. Now,
Hang on, the Test cricket.
I just wanted to mention Ben Stokes. I reckon he's made another century in this last game. The English are actually 2-1 up in the four Test series.
Okay.
But Ben Stokes is the best all-rounder in the world, I think, at the
time. I didn't realise he was such a good bowler, Rick. I know we're talking off air and he's bowling at 130, 140 clicks.
Yep.
Well, that's no mean feat.
That's no mean feat.
And I've seen him bat, and he can.
And he's consistently doing well.
Doesn't mind a fight in the street either, does he?
I've heard that he retired from that.
Oh, really?
Retired unbeaten.
Unconvicted too. I think he got off because he was a cricketer, didn't he?
Oh, Phil, you can't harsh, say things like that. You just can't say things like that.
All right, look, we better wind this up, Rick.
I think we shall. So until next week, this is Rick.
This is Phil.